today on Real Radio.
The church is not to be crude and it's not to be rude. The church is to lovingly stand with all truth wrapped around the church, the New Testament church, in such a way that the world knows that that is an entity that is not of earth. And that's us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About the Church, Part 1, continues a series called Who Told You? Oftentimes, our doctrine is based on our past experiences or outside influences, or a combination of many other things. In this series, we learn how to discern the voices of our day based on what Scripture actually reveals. Many of us have wondered what the term church actually means. The church today is a New Testament Christ-centered community. It's also the guardian and the giver of the good news, which is salvation through Jesus Christ. And when the church operates through the Holy Spirit and the power of God's Word, it's the most powerful force on earth. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that the church by design is the bride of Christ, spoken of in the book of Revelation. It's also the mouthpiece of God to the world, the promoter of truth, and the warrior against the forces of darkness, while providing sanctuary for the newly born-again believer. And now in his lesson called Who Told You About the Church, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When we talk about the church and we talk about the fact that we've come to church this morning, it's obvious that in the last several weeks we've moved out of our sanctuary into this tent, and we've been making mention to you that the church is not a building. We all know that, but we drive by a building, we drive by a place and say, my, what a beautiful church, what a beautiful building. And I'm reminded more than ever as we get into this new topic in our series about the church and what about the church, that as I shared a few weeks ago, when we were in New England, there were so many gorgeous, beautiful, awesome churches that were completely spiritually dead. And how in the world did that happen? How does a church begin? At some point in time, I would assume those churches were dynamic, vibrant, living churches. What happens? Peter tells us that we need to be very careful that we, as believers, are growing, that we're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we don't take the Bible as something recreational, but that we take it for what it is, that it is the very life and bread to our very existence as a believer. And I think it's safe to say that for every true Christian, the Word of God, listen, not only speaks to you, it speaks to you without apology. Would you agree? It speaks to you straight on, head on. The Bible will comfort you. The Bible will encourage you. The Bible will give you direction. And also as a believer, that when we neglect the Word of God, even by very natural means, maybe we're busy or maybe we've been sick or whatever's going on, you notice that when you wake up to the reality of getting back to the Bible, that it has some sort of a pull that is divine and supernatural. Every true believer understands this, that the Bible is constantly pulling you into itself, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. For what reason? Because the church is to be the most powerful. Listen, please believe me. I'm not telling you this because I'm supposed to say this. I'm telling you this because I mean it and I believe it. The most powerful force on earth is not Kim Jong-un and his weaponry. It's not the United States and its Navy. It's not Russia and its desire. The greatest power on earth, when it's filled with the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of God's Word, is in fact the church. The church, when it's led by the Spirit of God under the direction of the Word, cannot be stopped. Jesus commissioned the church early on. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus said, as the scripture announces first, that he came and spoke to them, that is the disciples. And he said, listen, all authority, that's a lot, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, or behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age or the end of the world. That's the mission statement of the church. That's what the church is to be doing. as Christians. Now, look, in a size of church this is at First Service, I understand that maybe if there's somebody here that's not a Christian. But for the rest of us, that's our marching orders. We are in some way, shape, or form to be getting out the word, and it is incumbent upon every one of our lives as a Christian to be making disciples. And that doesn't have to be in some organized way. You don't have to do that in a class. You don't have to do that in some gathering or some group. That just us as believers experiencing Christ with one another, we begin to disciple. Or as the scripture says, ironing, sharpening iron, one with another. But what makes the church a New Testament church in this day and age? I want to read this to you. It is the mouthpiece of God to the world. It is a nursery for the newborn again. It is the bride in all of her holy splendor. It is the culture warrior against the darkness. It is the promoter of truth and the exposer of sins. The church is a warrior princess living in enemy-occupied territory. The church is a living, breathing organism made up of you and I, and not only us here under this tent, but those that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And you and I are living in an age, and I don't have to tell you, that the church is directly under attack in a very, very global way, certainly in America and in other places. Why? Listen, why? I personally believe that what the unbelieving world is seeing around us is the fact that the church is so anemic and so disengaged from the culture that as a shark smells blood in the water, I think so evil and darkness smells the weakness of the church. Evil is advancing. Jesus said in John 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And the world is to hate the church, according to Jesus. But again, it's not normal. It's not the hatred that you might think. The church is not to be obnoxious. The church is not to be mean. The church is not to be crude, and it's not to be rude. The church is to lovingly stand with all truth wrapped around the church, the New Testament church, in such a way that the world knows that that is an entity that is not of earth. And that's us. So in these next several weeks, we're going to be looking at what is the church and what's to be expected of the church. Are we truly members of the church? What does that mean? So today, church, if you're a note taker, who told you and I about the church in our doctrinal study? And we're asking that question, what is it? What is the church? And the first thing that we see today is that it is obviously a community. We hear a lot about that today. Is your church a community? Well, we're going to have community. But understand this, that a New Testament church is not a community unless, listen, it is Christ-centered. It's got to be Christ-centered. And today along the landscape, we've got all kinds of buildings with church on the title, or we may have a license to operate. This is true, you know. This is a backdoor business. A church gets, I think this is funny, a church gets the permission from the federal government in the United States to operate. Now, look, did you hear what I just said? I think that's kind of hilarious. We just jump through those hoops because we're supposed to and the law requires us to do that. But do you think for one moment that if the United States government said, oh, by the way, we've issued a new decree, you can't be a church anymore. Do you understand nothing would change here? I mean, I might get arrested and taken out of here, but that's okay. We've got pastors lined up to take my place after I'm arrested and taken out of here. You can't legislate the removal of the church. The church absolutely operates as a community that God has ordained, and it is Christ-centered, and that's all important. When a church comes into a community or when a church is born, I'd like to say a church is born into a community. When that happens, there are people who live within a particular area. They begin to gather together to study the Bible. What happens? Happens every time when the Bible's taught. People begin to listen. They began to lean upon God. They began to understand God's word. They began to realize that God loves them, that God's got a plan for their life. And you know what happens? They get up from that Bible study and they go to work. They go home. They go in the neighborhood. And you know what happens? Pastor Chuck used to say years ago, if you feed the sheep, sheep reproduce sheep. Isn't that a great word? And when people are growing and the sheep are strengthening, they wind up reproducing, making more sheep, and they wind up telling others about the love of God. And that happens. That's called a church. All based upon the Word of God, because the Bible is Christ-centered, and that's how the church is formed. That's how this Bible study was formed, when six couples got together and taught the Bible, and things began to happen. But it's a Christ-centered community. What is a community? Well, according to Webster's Dictionary, a community is a society. It is a culture. It's an association. It is a gathering together of like-minded people. Okay, listen, how does that happen? We're going to form community and be community in our church. Impossible, unless you gather together for a certain reason. And according to God, in a New Testament church, that community must be a Christ-centered community, or else it's not a New Testament church. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul spoke to Timothy about a New Testament church. He said, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine," that's teaching, "for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God," that's us, "may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, church, listen, right from the get-go, this is what a New Testament church is all about. It is to instruct you. It is to encourage you. Listen, a New Testament church, this church family, if we're going to be a community, I want to be sarcastic and say, do you really want to be a community? Because this is what a community would mean according to Paul's letter to Timothy as a New Testament church, is that we are to love each other so much that we are to get in front of one another, be with one another, and actually lovingly work on each other's lives. And I fear that the church in our day and age is too thin-skinned to handle that. Now, maybe I'm tainted, and I probably am. Being a pastor, like a doctor, you don't go to a doctor when you're healthy. Doctors see sick people, right? And as a pastor, sometimes you begin to wonder, maybe I'm tainted, that seems like everybody's marriage is falling apart. Seems like everybody's parents are goofing off, or everybody's kid is in rebellion. But that's not true. It just feels like it's true. But if we were a New Testament community as a church, and this is our target for this church, is that we are to love one another to the point, listen, that we convince one another that we love one another. In that convincing, now that gives you the opportunity to say, "Hey, Jack, you know what? I notice this about you, or when you say this and that. And brother, I just want to encourage you, maybe you ought to think of a different selection of words. And you can help me with that as well. Or brother, I noticed that, do you hear what I'm saying right now? Do you realize we are so thin-skinned in the 21st century church that people would say, you just insulted me. I can't believe you offended me. You just hurt my feelings. Did you know that if we love one another, listen, we're going to hurt one another in love? Did you hear that? Why is it so quiet in here? Is it me? What's the deal? If we love each other, we're going to say things like, you know what, man, I got to tell you something. And I come humbly before you. And listen, the thing is this. You're dating that girl, and I met her last week. You introduced her to me. And man, she hates God. What are you doing, man? The Bible says that we ought not to be unequally yoked, and I want to encourage you. Listen, a brother, and faithful, by the way, are the wounds of a brother. A brother would turn and say, dude, I don't know what got into me. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you. That's a community. It's a community that says, listen, I notice that you're not signing up to do anything, man. Do you understand that you've got great gifts? I've noticed that you've got so much organizational type skills. Man, you ought to step up and be used by God. The church needs you. Oh, no, I can't. I'm just a nothing. Listen, community says, listen. No, listen, you and I may both be nothing, but God is in you and he wants to use you. Come on, let's sign up. Let's do this together. We've got to break down the fences that we have around our lives if we're going to be a true New Testament church community that is Christ-centered, because we would all say, man, I want to go back to the first century. I want to walk with Jesus like the disciples. Are you sure? Really? Because Jesus said things like this. See all those hungry people? Yes, Lord, we see them, and we went around looking around. We only found this kid's lunch. He's got some fish and some bread. We don't know what to do. Jesus turns to that little community of 12 and says, well, why don't you make the people sit down in groups and you feed them? He brought them up and out of their comfort zone. And he showed them by that moment that the Holy Spirit was going to use them. Every time you and I are desperate before God is when the Holy Spirit shows up and does the impossible in us. Look, what might be possible to you might be impossible to me. But God wants to do the impossible stuff. Why? He gets the glory. The church, listen, the church in health explodes, not size. There's nothing healthy about a big church, nothing. But when a church is based upon the word of God and it's committed to getting to know one another, Christ-centered, we grow. Listen, we have a rare opportunity for the next couple months to be in this tent, and you're all sitting around new people. Now, you know, remember your routine's all broken up. You had, I mean, you didn't have your name on those seats next door, but it's almost like you did. I'd see you. You guys walk in there and somebody's sitting in your chair and you're like, you know, all messed up. What's with that? Now in the tent, you say, I don't know who's sitting next to me. Maybe that's the point. Get to know them. Reach out to them. Get a name. Say hi. Listen, take them out to lunch. Take them to Wahoo's. Jesus will be there after third service. Go. Grab them. Invite them. Take them. See, man, that's a risk. Risk it. Amen. See, what if I don't like them? So you don't like them. Don't invite them out to lunch again. Invite somebody else out. Risk it. Get to know one another. It's a powerful thing. It's a community. And it's by design. The word church, ekklesia, in the Greek language of the Bible, it means the gathering ones, those who have been assembled together. It means the meeting of those who have been called out of the world and into Christ. It's the assembly of the souls, is how the old Puritans used to say it. The souls would assemble. And we know that the church, this thing, the church, the amazing church, the Bible refers to it as a mystery. Did you know that? The Bible, this is awesome. Mysterion is the word in the Greek, and it's a mystery that's not a trick. It's not some sort of a smoky, foggy, ethereal thing. No, listen, the word mysterion means that Christ has always had it in his heart and mind to do. It's never been an afterthought. It is what it is. And that he has been waiting for just the right moment to let it out. I want you to think about that for a moment. You are the church today if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, having died on the cross, rose again from the dead, that you've put your trust in him and he has forgiven you of your sins. The Bible says the Holy Spirit has baptized you into the body of Christ. You're born again. You're of the church. Understand this. The Bible announces that you are part of the mystery. That at some point in time, 2,000 years ago, on that day when the church was born, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus Christ was all excited that that which has always been in his heart to do has gotten out of the gate. How awesome is that? That it's now public and the church was born. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, it's a remarkable statement because Ephesians 5 is that portion of scripture is all about husbands and wives loving each other, being submitted to Christ. Wives being submitted to the husband being submitted to Christ. That's the key. Amen. My husband just told me this morning to submit. Well, ask him this. Are you submitted to Christ, Junior? Because the Bible says both of you ought to be submitted to Christ. And in all of that talk about marriage, right in the middle of it, Ephesians 5, verse 32 says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Is that awesome? What are we talking about? That somehow in the mind of God, infinite, that marriage is a model of Jesus in the church. It's the closest thing on earth where intimacy and union and oneness can be experienced, body, soul, and spirit. And Jesus loves that. And Paul the Apostle is saying, it's a mystery. Regarding marriage and all of this, he says, you know what? It's kind of like Jesus and the church. Listen, in your life, is that how it is in your life? Is that how it is in this church? Is Christ and the church here a mysterious thing? Almost impossible to explain? Somebody asked me this morning. They've been away for a while. They say, what's going on here? Front door shut. I go, well, it's the front door is over here now. It's over here. We're in a tent. Why? What happened? Some people drive by and think we had a fire. Well, I'll tell you what. I hope that a fire breaks out. I hope that it's something that you can't, in the sense of a mysterion, define it. It doesn't take a tent to have God move, but it takes a willing heart to have God move. That God would move, that God would have his way with us. That's the church. And Paul talks about this mysterious, amazing thing. And with that definition comes a requirement that the church is born of God, called out of the world. Look at us around this place. It's amazing to think the backgrounds we all have come from. Isn't it amazing that right now you got up early, you came here, you're sitting here. Isn't it freaky, amazing, strange that you're here because of one name and it's Jesus? Do you understand that the background to all of us naturally in this world would never have brought us together for anything? Think of it. What a community. It gathers together under one banner, and that banner is Jesus. It comes together for one purpose, and that's to know Jesus. It does all that to have one purpose in this world, and that's to affect the world for Jesus. The community understands that this world is not our home. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, Paul said to the church in Rome, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." That is awesome. Check your own heart. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And verse 17 says, "And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." What an amazing statement. The church is made up of people who, listen, we have our differences. We have our different likes. We have our different callings. We have our different professions. But we all have this in common regarding the community. And that is this, that we've been adopted into the same family. The same family of God. What a tremendous thing that is. Adoption is amazing. My granddaughter's been adopted, and I never think about her being adopted. We've had her for 7 years, and I got to tell you, people remind me around town because I don't even think she's adopted. I don't even realize that. And look, I don't want to put down anybody else, but listen, when you're pregnant and you have a kid and that little baby comes out, that's your baby. You're going home with that baby. You're not going home with someone else's baby. That's your baby, and no one's going to take your baby home. And that's just the way it works. But there's something about being picked. I'll take that one. How does it happen? That there's an overriding transcendent love. Regardless of history, regardless of color, regardless of status, regardless, you name it, love says, "I want that one."
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called "Who Told You About the Church? Part 1. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you are putting your faith in Christ while getting involved in a local body of believers. Who Told You About the Church? Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called "Who Told You?", a series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, as well as his plan for our lives and the future of his church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month every month? Specially selected books handpicked by Pastor Jack. And this month's book of the month is called The Attributes of God, Volume 1 by A.W. Tozer. In this book, Tozer invites us to look into what the Father reveals about himself. It's a scripture-based journey that examines God's grace, mercy, justice, holiness, and goodness, among other things. Be sure to pick up The Attributes of God, Volume 1 by A.W. Tozer when you go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.